The Bible tells us over in the book of Revelation that there were 24 elders. And whenever that they began to praise the Lord Jesus Christ, they cast their crowns before Him. Now, I don't know what my crown will look like. I don't know what your crown will look like. You know, probably the Apostle Paul will have all kinds of crowns for what he has done, for what he has preached, for what he has endured to take the gospel into a lost and dying world. But I do know this. I do know that what little that probably I'll have to offer as my gratitude to Him, it's because I am grateful to Him for what He did. Because if He had not died upon the cross of Calvary, none of this would be possible. There would be no assurance of eternal life. There would be no possibility of us being able to come under the throne of grace to ask Him for salvation. We ask that you pray for this service today and ask that you remember all the prayer requests that have been made thus far. Now, my wife Shirley has passed out a little leaflet. It's not for you to sign for a job in the church somewhere, but for what I'll say, I cannot begin to describe what took place in the building of the tabernacle. How that it was put together exactly the way that God wanted it to be. And our verse of scripture, our scripture will come from the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Now, if you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn there with us to the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah wrote this in approximately 760 BC. He was prophet unto Judah, Israel, the 10 northern tribes that had already gone into captivity. Judah was left. And so his prophecy was unto Judah, that kingdom. He served under several kings, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He wrote all of this, and we'll find embedded within the prophecy of this several references to the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone will say, "Preacher, whenever you read the Bible, you see Christ in it, don't you?" Well, I didn't write the book, but I want you to know that He is mentioned in some way, somehow, in every one of the books of the Scriptures. All 66 books, they speak of Him in some way as Savior, as Lord, as Redeemer. Now, I want to tell you something today. He's the only one who can save. Nobody else. Mom and dad and church and everything like that, they can't save you. But only Jesus Christ can. Only He can. And so He writes this particular scripture, starting with the first verse, chapter 11. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord." Now, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, yes, there is that natural type of fear. But this is speaking about being in awe of Him. Unto Him belongs all glory and belongs all praise. Unto Him belongs all of our respect, all of our attention. No one else at all. And they shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. If correctly read, this is the first through the fifth verses of Scripture that's found in the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And we want to take for a text, if God would be our helper, and allow us to speak for just a moment, the second verse of Scripture that reads like this: "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord." Now, of course, this is speaking of and talking about that one day, whenever that God would bear witness that this was his Son, Jesus Christ, after having been baptized by John the Baptist, there were three that were there that day in order to declare Christ Jesus. First of all, there was the Father who spoke from heaven. And he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Then there was the Holy Spirit that came in the form of a dove and rested upon him. Now, that's what a lot of this Scripture that we've read in your hearing pertains to. And then third, there was Christ himself, the Word become flesh. The Word became flesh, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Son, full of grace and truth. Now, this verse of Scripture pertains to that occasion that occurred. But you look at it further, it pertains also unto something that God gives whenever that we're saved. You see, we're born of the Spirit. We're no longer of the flesh. The flesh cannot please God. In fact, if you look into Galatians chapter 5, and through those verses of Scripture, 22 through 26, you'll find what the works of the flesh are: adulteries, murders, so on and so forth. But then there is that is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, how do we get fruit? How do we get fruit from the Holy Spirit today? And it's God's will that you might bear fruit. Each and every one of you today that has been saved by the grace of God. This passage pertains unto those items that we just mentioned in your hearing, that God gives us through the Holy Spirit in order that we might later on bear fruit for Him. Now, some people will say, "Well, I read over in Galatians, like you just quoted, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, so on and so forth." And that is true, but it's not the gifts that God gives. It's the result of using the gifts that God has given to each and every one of us. Then over in 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter, it talks about other gifts that are given, and therefore the edification of the church of one another. God may bless you with a spirit of hospitality, or if you will, a spirit that yearns to help or yearns to encourage. And I want you to know that comes from God. No criticism comes from God. He takes care of that kind of judgment. But He encourages us today to support one another, to stand beside one another, to lift each other up in prayer. And then over in Ephesians, it tells us that there are those that are given in the ministry for ministerial gifts. Now, used to tease this one preacher that we knew down in Tennessee about a sermon that they had just preached, and he said, or the guy that was teasing said, "You know, it almost sounds like God's gift to this church." Well, in a sense, that's true. But he gave apostles. He gave prophets. He gave evangelists. He gave pastors. He gave teachers today. Now, we don't see apostles and we don't see, if you will, prophets as such. But the others we do see. They are given unto the church for the edification of the church. And the purpose of those gifts are for the reason of giving illumination, of giving light, of shedding light from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you read back over into Exodus, and you might say today, well, is there gospel in Exodus? There certainly is. Because in Exodus, it gives us kind of the types and shadows of he that was to come. And in the Exodus, they built what is referred to as a tabernacle. Now, what you have there is the lampstand that was in the tabernacle, in the holy place. And it was probably one of the most important pieces outside of the Ark of the Covenant, outside of the altar of incense, those items, because it illuminated everything. It gave a light that they could minister by. It's a light that would illuminate each and every one. And you know, today, we don't have a lampstand. We don't have something like that in our church. We've got electric lights. But you know, those electric lights are controlled by a switch. But you know, this light that was in the tabernacle, it never went out. It always was there. And that's how it is with the gospel today. The gospel light does not go out. When we convene from here today, we take the gospel with us out into the world, out among those that we work with, that we associate with, that we see, our friends, our neighbors, our children, those that are related unto us today. But in the book of Exodus, it talks about how that this lamp or this light was constructed. Now, in the 31st verse or 31st chapter of the book of Exodus, Moses called upon an individual who was well acquainted with crafts, the way that this was to be done. But there was also something else about him. Bezalel and Aholiab were the names of the ones that had crafted those items that went into the tabernacle. It was done after a pattern. God didn't just leave it up to Moses to say, well, you know, this kind of would look good, a tent. And this would look good, just a linen cloth around the outside of it. No, it was done according to the pattern that God showed in the mount unto Moses. And Bezalel and also Aholiab, the Bible tells us today, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you might say, the Holy Spirit wasn't given until later on, but these men were filled with it. And that's how they crafted everything that went into the lampstand, the golden lampstand today. This is how that they fashioned it. They would bead it. They would form it. They would just kind of manipulate it. Gold is very malleable, if you will. In other words, from what I understand, you can fashion it fairly easily into whatever that you want or whatever you think that you need. But he fashioned it according to how God led him in his heart and led him in his spirit. He fashioned it according to all that God wanted it to be. Now, whenever that he fashioned it, he fashioned it. And if I could just take the time for just a moment to go over into the book of Exodus, where that this all took place. In the 25th chapter of the book of Exodus, the Bible tells us in the 31st verse, he said, "Thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, a beaten work. The candlestick be made, his shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knops, his flowers shall be the same, and six branches, that is three on each side, shall go out from the candlestick, and three branches of the candlestick outside of the other side. And these bowls made likened unto almonds, knobs, and also unto flowers." Now, what is that today? Well, if we could get just a picture for a moment of what was at the top of where that they poured the oil in that gave light unto that candlestick, we would see that, first of all, there was a knob. It was like a bud. And it was there to remind them that God was eternal, that God was from everlasting unto everlasting. Do you know that God is eternal? He's infinite. No one can measure him. He said in one place unto Solomon, he said, "You have built me a house," but he said, "The very heavens cannot contain him." Is this the kind of God we worship? You are so right. He is eternal. He is infinite. And I want you to know today, my friend, it would probably frighten us to be able to see the magnificence of Almighty God. Next, there were almonds within it. Almonds were actually a flower that bloomed the first in the Middle East. Before all the others branched out, before all the others would come forth, there would be almonds blossoming. And you know, the almond tree was what budded out of Aaron's rod that was put into the Ark of the Covenant. But what is that significant of? It's significant of the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Because I want you to know, without the immensity of God, without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're no different than any other religion, any other faith today. But I want you to know we are here today because, as we sang the song, "He is risen," this is the gospel message. He was offered for our offenses, but he was raised for our justification. And I want to tell you how I'm justified today. By faith, Romans 5:1. But I'm also justified because of Christ Jesus came forth the third day, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Nobody else has resurrected. Someone will say today, "Well, what about Lazarus?" Lazarus was brought back from the dead. He wasn't resurrected, but he will be resurrected whenever that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in glory and in power today. You know, whenever that Jesus stood there and said, "Lazarus, come forth," if he had not named Lazarus by name, and he just said, "Come forth," every grave from all over and around the world would have opened up and they would have been brought forth from the dead. But he says over in the book of John that there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Which group do you think mankind will go into? My friend, the resurrection of the just is those that have made their blood, their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. They are ready. They've got a wedding garment. That wedding garment has been cleansed. It, my friend, has no sin about it whatsoever. I want to tell you, when we stand before God, he's not going to be looking at what church you belong to, what group you belong to. He's not going to be looking to see what kind of deeds you did or didn't do. He's looking to see what? The blood, if it's been applied unto your heart. When he passed through Egypt, didn't mean to get off on this, but anyway, when he passed through Egypt, My friend, I want you to know he wasn't looking for a telephone of the Israelites. He wasn't looking, my friend, for a Star of David over the household. He was looking to see if the blood of a Passover lamb had been applied. What's been applied unto your heart today? What will get you into heaven? I'm going to tell you what's getting me into heaven. Because when I was saved, a high priest came to me and cleansed me with his precious blood. And he said, I'm your intercessor. I'm your mediator. I am your advocate. There is no other that you go unto. There's no other that you lift up. There's no other today that can save like Jesus saves today. Oof. I get kind of excited about that. I really do. Wasn't as sometimes I'm more excited than I was last night. My friend, I want you to know I'm excited about the fact that Christ saved my soul. And I want you to know something. I want you to know something today. This altar up here, this is an altar. It's always open. God's Spirit moves on you to come to this altar, you come. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. I shall give you peace. But hopefully you'll go unto the altar where God makes the altar, where God makes it. And I want you to know that this bench has no virtue, no saving virtue in it. But it's a good place to come and pray. It's a very good place to come and pray. Okay. Also, there were flowers on each and every one of those candlesticks. Those flowers represented the sweet aroma of redemption today, because that's what that ark was all about. That's what this is all about today, the redemption of men's souls. But those flowers represented the sweetness of Christ's sacrifice. I want to tell you what the 4th chapter and the 12th verse of Acts says in one place. It says, there's none other name given among men whereby that we must be saved. I wasn't saved because my mom and dad went to church. I wasn't saved today because my grandfather was a preacher. I was saved today because my friend Christ Jesus died for me upon the cross, and he applied his blood unto my heart. That's what's getting me into heaven. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm confident in all of you today. You way that you're nodding and amening today, my friend, the way that you look on your face, I want you to know today, I know I'm speaking to some people who have been redeemed. But that's what those knots represented. But you'll see on that diagram that's been handed out that after a person is saved, there are gifts that are given. Gifts that are given. Now, who is central in that lamp? The Lord Jesus Christ. You're right. And I want to tell you something. If he's not central in your testimony, in your life, if he's not central, my friend, your light will not shine. It will not shine. Jesus said in one place, he said, don't put your candle underneath a bushel. Put it off somewhere. Enjoy it off somewhere. I'm going to heaven and my family. And oh boy, that's all I care about. My friend, he gives gifts unto men. He gives gifts to you, Sister Carolyn. He gives gifts to you today, Pam. And to all of you that have been saved by the grace of God. The central part of that lamp represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He better be central. My friend, your life is in vain. And you, if he's not central to your life, right up here is where you need to come. And you need to pray. The knowledge of the Lord is one gift. When you're saved, you've got that knowledge of the Lord. You know him in the free pardon of sin. You know him as Savior and Lord. And do you know today, Sister Melba, the Lord, through his mercy, has helped me to understand things that I never realized were there in the scriptures. We find today he gives the gift of counseling. Of counseling. All ye that labor, come unto me. I want to tell you the best counselor in the world is the Lord Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit. The best counselor altogether. Wisdom is another gift of the Holy Spirit. My friend, wisdom. What is wisdom today? Do you know today it's you can have all kinds of knowledge. You can have all kinds of understanding. And my friend, if a person does not have wisdom, it's in vain. Wisdom directs the knowledge. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom gives us the insight into the workings of the Holy Spirit, the workings of God. And I want you to know that on the other side of this diagram is understanding. He, through wisdom, gives understanding. There's some things that I understand that I can't even vocalize. Do you know that today? He said, well, you sure vocalize a lot, Brother Colford. My wife will be on the phone because I'll be calling her up, finishing the sermon. But he gives understanding. You know that whenever that Solomon took the kingdom, that is, whenever that he was set within the kingdom, what he prayed for, he didn't pray, oh man, get me a Bitcoin, Lord. Get me a Bitcoin. And oh, I want, Lord, can you move some of the gold of Israel into this particular stock? I hear that it's going to go skyrocketing. He didn't pray for that. He prayed for wisdom. He said, Lord, I need wisdom to know how to govern your people. And my friend, when you read about what happened whenever the two harlots came with a child and one had claim over it over the other, Solomon said, bring forth the sword and we'll divide the child. Give one unto this mother and the half of it to the other. The one who was the mother cried out and said, no, give it to her. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And that's insight that comes from God Almighty today. Then he gives us power. I want to tell you, we could not do some of the things that we do without the power and the accompaniment of the Holy Spirit today. We could not. We could not do some of the things. You know, there's a song I used to love them sing called, Lord, I Can't Even Walk Without You Holding My Hand. Oh, I'd love to hear them. Love to hear them sing that. There's where that the power comes from. Paul said in one place, I am made weak that through God I might be made strong. He said over in the book of the Philippian letter, he said that all power has been given unto Christ, but he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me today. And the light that shines forth from it illuminates the hearts of individuals that are in darkness seeking for light. As long as Christ remains in your lampstand, you can have these things that he's talking about. Yes, you can. And today, people need light. People need to know what it is to be saved. Do they know through you? Do they know through me? I'm hoping so, because I don't believe that we have too much time left for us to labor. I hope God gives us another day. I hope God gives us another year. I'd like to be back here another year with you all serving the Lord. But that might not be in the will of Almighty God. It might be that He'll say it's enough. It's enough. Now those gifts are given unto us. Those gifts are given unto us for spiritual knowledge. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. If you don't have wisdom, then ask God. How many of you know who Johnny Cash is? Most of you. Yeah. He sang a song one time called, "If You Got the Blues, Come On, Get Rhythm." And I kind of took that as a theme. Said, if you are a fool, go on and get wisdom. That came from the scriptures. I don't know if Johnny knew that he had inspired me. But I want you to know, ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. Understanding, insight into the faith that we hold forth. The Bible tells us today that it's by faith that we serve God. In Hebrews, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, even saved people can seek the Lord today for what they may lack in. If you lack in knowledge, ask God. He'll give it to you. If you lack understanding, He'll give it to you. If you're afraid that you don't have power, ask God. He'll give it to you. Why? Because He wants your light to shine out unto a lost and dying world. Oh yes, I'm not going to leave Aholiab and can't think of his name now. But anyway, won't leave him there in the tent, in the dark. I won't leave him there. But you know, when he finished that task, you don't read about him anymore. You know, we only are here for a time. We're only here for a brief moment. Paul talks about it in terms of a vapor that appeareth for a while and is soon vanished away. Do you know that the greatest thing that there is in this world is to serve God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength? Because I don't believe today that we have much time. If you've got lost loved ones, please warn them. Please tell them. Please plead with them to seek the Lord and to be saved on the terms of the gospel. Because one day, and I'll close, one day, do you know what's going to happen? Angels will walk down the street of Sodom, just like it did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He'll walk down to see if the wickedness is as such as he's been witnessing and holding on to. And you know, sudden destruction shall come. Someone will say, oh, I knew you were going to get around to a hellfire and brimstone. No, I don't do it to scare people. I do it to inform them. This is what's coming. And it might be my loved ones. It might be your loved ones. But Lord, with this revival that's coming up, and I know that it's in October, and I know that we think about it as, well, that's far off. Do you know the Lord may come before October comes? I grew up in a church where the only time that people thought that they could be saved was whenever the revival came. You know, and then the altar would be filled. But you know what? Christ may come before that. He may come, and I want to tell you one other thing, and I'll hush. When He steps down from the mediatorial throne of grace, where He is seated at the right hand of the Father, He does not ever go back to that to be Savior and Lord. Do you know what He'll be? Judge. You're exactly right, Brother Frank. He'll be judge. And do you know what He'll be looking for? If you've got salvation, or if you've had the blood applied. And you know, I preach that, and I know that the majority of everybody, as far as I know, has been saved. But you know, there are people watching this on YouTube. I'm glad for that. Boy, why do we hide it? Why do we hide it in our churches? He said to go out into the highways and the hedges and bid them to come in, that my table might be filled. And I think part of those highways are the social media. I think it's other means we can be witnessing.